Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Ella Darling, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That by Tina Horn.
Welcome to the 37th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that just wants your extra time and your kiss. This is a very special episode about a very special subject, sexting. As you doubtlessly know, because I won't let you forget it, I put out a book this year about the ethics and etiquette of sexting. I knew I wanted to do an episode of the podcast about this subject, so I brought on Alana Massey. Alana is a journalist who has written countless brilliant, funny essays on selfies and online dating and pop culture, so I knew she would bring some fresh attitude to the conversation. In honor of this episode, if you sign up for my Patreon for $5 a month or more, I will send you a free, personalized, signed copy of my book, Sexting, The Grown-Up's Guide to Getting Dirty Digitally. That's patreon.com/TinaHorn. So, I'm finally home in New York City after a lot of traveling, and I'm looking forward to settling into summer in the greatest city in the world. May 12th, I'm teaching my Digital Dirty Talk class at Please in Park Slope, and on June 29th, I'm doing a special Pride version of my Dirty Talk class, Queering Dirty Talk, at the Pleasure Chest in the Upper East Side. Come hang out in person and get nasty with me. So, do your thumb exercises and get that perfect selfie angle as we explore why are people into sexting. Hi, Alana.
Hello, Tina. How are you?
Thanks for having me over so that we could record this show.
It is my utmost pleasure to welcome people into my home for the purpose of such encounters.
I love your emoji pillow.
Thank you. That was the first, it's really cheesy, it was the first gift my boyfriend ever gave me, which is like, it was like 3 weeks ago because he's a very new boyfriend, but I'm like, this is the only thing that I ever actually wanted, and it's my favorite emoji.
Oh, so, will you describe this, your favorite emoji? Relevant to what we're going to talk about
it
today.
It is it's the heart eyes emoji, so a big yellow circle with two big red hearts for eyes, which is the appropriate response to almost all sexts that I send, at least, but, you know. Not everyone's a straight-A student in that regard.
No, that's true.
But it's the gold star of emojis when it comes to sexting.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's better than the thumbs up, for sure.
Oh, the thumbs up is like...
That's like what you sent your mom.
Yeah, it's like, it appears you have tried.
It's a little condescending, right? It's
yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, if I got that, I would never speak to someone again.
Or sex them again?
No, certainly. I might sex them and then block them. Be like, this is what you'll never see again. Get a load of it, because it's going away.
So, Alana, you're a journalist.
I am a journalist. A very serious journalist.
I I can tell. I've been reading your column in New York Magazine that you were just saying you have a deadline for. So thanks for taking time out of your deadline to be distracted, to procrastinate with me. But you've also written stuff that's been all over, like The Atlantic and The Guardian and Jezebel and, like, everywhere cool to write.
I throw spaghetti at the wall and hope everything sticks everywhere. So
cool.
That's
cool.
And I keep doing it. So, yeah.
And you have a book coming out this year?
It comes out in early 2017. It's called All the Lives I Want, and I have to finish edits for it this week, but the book is written.
It's a collection of essays, right?
It is. It's about celebrities, pop culture, women, mythologies of incompleteness, but in a fun, super engaging way, I like to think.
Awesome. Those are all, like, my favorite subjects that aren't specifically about sex, so I feel like there's a lot of overlap in our interests. You know, a lot of your pieces are about sex and relationships and also technology, but, like, celebrity and feminism and culture and that kind of thing.
There's all sorts of things going on in my... I call myself, somewhat jokingly, a feelings journalist, because I just write about the things I have feelings about and then sort of investigate them, but acknowledge, like, the germination point, which was, like, my interest or feeling about it. So I cover a lot of stuff, but the most consistent thing that really comes up in the work is the sort of intersection of relationships, identity, technology, and how, you know, and sex is an inevitable part of that. So
I think so.
That's how I landed some of the, you know, things that I have written that are more salacious as they end up in that sort of ecosystem of topics that I cover. Yeah.
Well, so one of your pieces, one of those pieces in particular that is part of the reason that I've asked you here today, and by asked you here, I mean asked myself here, was this piece that was on the cut about why you always put, maybe not always, but you tend to put your face in your naked selfies that you send people, or your sexual selfies that you sexed to people.
I am a firm and adamant believer in the sexed dump, in the sense of, like, you're not just gonna get one picture of me. Like, if I'm gonna get naked and look hot, like, you are getting several angles, you are getting, like, several body parts, you are definitely gonna get my face at some point, because that is the, you know, that's the person that you're sexting with. Like, you are not sexting with boobs, you're not sexting with my butt.
You're not, like, sexting with an artificial intelligence that is, like, a composite of stock photos, right?
It's like the, you know, the thing that's supposed to be so hot, to me at least, about sexting is, like, this is, you know, personalized smut from a person with whom I either think I want to have sex or have already had sex and want to again, to whom I'm attracted and who better be attracted to me. And so sort of throwing my face in there is, like, just so you know, this is, like, me. I'm the one doing this. Like, you can't sort of shuffle it into, like, a, you know, your, like, spank bank of, like, you know, great asses that have been sent to me. And it can't sort of get filed away with, I mean, it's not like people have files for these things, I would hope. I mean, you know what? You're highly organized.
I think people have files.
Yeah.
Labeled? I think that people should have files because I think that's, if people are, and we'll get into this, but I think that if people are concerned about their privacy, I think that keeping things highly organized and compartmentalized is a good way of doing that, because then you know where your, like, volatile material is at. But I'm also a Virgo, so I'm like, make a folder for it.
Oh, is that something Virgos do? I didn't know that.
Yeah, organized compartmentalizing. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I can't make everyone a Virgo, but I can can give them that advice.
It would be so convenient, though, if all the babies were just born in 1 month of the year and everyone just got it over with in, like, one screaming fit, and you only had to remember birthdays because there were, like, 10 a day.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
It was just, like, a party month. It was like, oh, this is the month the people were born. The rest of the year, we just party in other ways. In any case.
I know, that would be a sad month for Jehovah's Witnesses, though.
Yeah.
It's rubbing in their faces. But okay, so this article, which I highly recommend that people read, it's available online. And your website is
AlanaKM.com.
This is a special episode because we're going to talk about why are people into sexting. We've already sort of dived into it. But I just wrote a book about sexting, the ethics and etiquette of sexting, and so I knew it was time to do an episode about it. But I felt like it would be like tacky to interview myself.
So I'm just your stand-in. I'm your pawn.
Well. You're...
That's great.
You are. You're in a way, but moreover, I thought it would be more interesting to bring in, like, if people want to know what I think about sexting, they can buy my book, exactly. Right? So I wanted to bring in somebody who seemed to also have their own really interesting dynamic ideas about sexting. And when I read that piece and some of your other pieces, including your piece also about,
dick videos.
Yes, and... first dates and how we should like start just like saying no to like bad first dates, because yep. Online dating is definitely also part of the book and part of sexting, I think. And I started to read your stuff and I was like, yes, she's the one.
The one we've been waiting for.
And so
sexting is a big part of my life.
Yeah. So, and then when I wrote you and asked you if you would do the show, you said, oh, well, sexting is, I consider my greatest art form, or something along those lines,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that, like, sexting well is something that takes skill, and both in the sense of, this is another thing that I'm very interested in, that some people consider sexting any sexual content, and some people only consider it a sext if it's an image, and I consider it a combination of those things. Like, if I'm, like, having what used to be called cyber sex, where it was happening in a chat room.
I'm so glad you brought up that word, cyber sex.
And, like, it was, you know, like, chit-chatting, you know, started out with ASL. That's age, sex, location for you younger folks.
AOL, ASL.
Yeah, it was like, so some people, like, really only think, like, it's a sext if it's a picture, and I think it includes, like, smutty talk.
I completely agree. I mean, my definition of sexting completely incorporates language and image, and also video. Like, I think that Skype, like, putting on Skype shows for someone with someone, I would include as sexting.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I'm curious what you think about this. I think that there's two main kinds of sexting. There's flirting sexting and foreplay sexting. So, like, flirting sexting is, like, the equivalent of, like a come-hither look, or, like, a, you know, like, kissing someone's neck. Like, do you want to come over right now? Like, I'm hot for you and I want you to come over right now. And then, like, foreplay sexting is, like, the equivalent of, like, a vibrator on your clit. It's, like, using digital messaging to basically, like, as a, like, a sex toy for the big sex organ between your ears. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, that's the kind of sexting that you might, like, that might be intended to be, like, masturbated to.
Right. I think I only really participate in the latter. I think that if, I can't think of many times I would use, like, a come hither stare, or, like, a non, like, I just, like, go straight into it. Like, I'm also really into the etiquette of saying, like, hey, can I send you something right now?
Mm-hmm,
like, because sometimes people, like, I've, you know, sort of, like, ambush sexted, and they're like, oh, work, like, my phone's up, and, like, I don't want my coworker to see you.
I completely agree with that.
Like, kind of.
And don't you think that, like, those initial messages, first of all, is the digital, the virtual equivalent of establishing consent and establishing enthusiastic consent, but also can be a part, just as good IRL communication can both establish consent and be sexy. Like, those kinds of, like, leading up, like, would you like to see this? Can I send you this right now? Is, like, part of the anticipation and part of the foreplay and the buildup?
Yeah, it is, and it's fun to make it, like, a little bit, like, I am very, like, into making it, like, fun, and,
What a concept.
And like making it very like much me, which is another part of the sort of like, this is like my particular way of doing these things. And like, this is how we're going to sext, where I will say like, hey, I'm Nika. I took really hot pictures of myself. I want to send them to you. Can I send them to you right now? Just this like really verbose, sort of obnoxious, unsexy thing.
That sounds pretty sexy.
You know, I've like rarely, you know, gotten a no reply, because it's usually people with whom I would send that in the context of someone that, you know, knows me well enough to know that I'm not actually being neurotic. I'm just like being sort of ridiculous and silly, and they know that I already take these pictures because I probably already sent them like while they were sitting next to me. But that it's funny because so many of the guys that I continue to do that to, or like that I continued to do that to, would be like, you can always send them, like, I give you carte blanche for all like perpetuity to do this. And I'm like, no, but actually you don't, like,
no.
I don't, like, I'm not gonna take that as like, you know, actual permission, because like, you know, like, our relationship will change, like, our dynamic will change, like, you will be at dinner with your mom at some point, yeah, and you will regret having said that. So like, I would keep doing it, but like, make it maybe, you know, I would adapt it to what they were interested in, because I also think that, like, sexting that's just sort of masturbatory, like, for one person and not the other is really, it's so transparent that you're, like, that the other person is, like, checked out and just trying to, like, bait words out of you and images out of you, and you're like, no, like, this is not what we're doing. So
in your mind, an ideal sexting session involves like a volleying back and forth.
Yeah, like reading the temperature of what someone else is saying and, you know, the things that they are hinting at or are clearly, you know, interested in from either experience or just sort of like an intuition about like having had an interaction with them, if you have had one. Because sometimes there'll just be this sort of like deus ex machina, like, oh, and now I put it in your butt. I'm like, whoa, hold the phone. Like, that's not where we were going with this. Like, why would I have done this thing if that was what I was expecting or, like, leading up to?
So in the sort of, like, choose-your-own-adventure back and forth of sexting, you want it to have to be based in sort of the same... You want to see the same, like, instinct and nuance and creativity and care and attention that you would in IRL sex.
Absolutely. And if it's not a session per se and is more a sort of gift dispatch of sorts, mm-hmm, where like, mm-hmm, someone's, you know, out and about and you're just sort of making their day exciting by sending pictures or, you know, a note that's sort of suggestive, or even in the case of more explicit stuff, just very explicit, but like a single sort of dispatch,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because it's not, they're either unavailable or, you know, not up for it.
Mm-hmm.
That in those cases, I think, like, it can still be, you still have an opportunity if you're, like, on the receiving end of that to not just be, like, hot. Like, you can be interactive with, like, the particulars of the images or a reply that is, you know, acknowledges the words that were in, that acknowledges the art that went into the dispatch of like, oh yeah, that would be hot, or, you know, like, I can't wait for this thing and also this other thing, like, I will add to the story, as opposed to just being like, such a boner, like, I'm so hot, like, I'm like, I know, like,
that's
the thumbs up kind of reply text that I don't send a thumbs up to, because I'm a good, decent person, but I'm like, come on, like, you are literally phoning this in, and just because you're on your phone doesn't mean that you should be phoning this in.
So have you, okay, so I want to back up, what is hot about sexting to you?
To me, it's a combination of knowing the, you know, power to turn someone on who you're not even in the same room with.
Yeah.
That just by, you know, sort of, you know, teleporting yourself via this sort of avatar you sent into the world, or these words that sort of came, you know, alongside your name, and like maybe if somebody has like an image right next to it on your contact, like that is as powerful or has power in addition to being physically present and available to actually have sex with someone or engage with them, you know, in a sexual way. And, like, knowing that you can sort of stop someone in their tracks, that you can change the trajectory of their day, you can change their mood from far away, and that it is in a, you know, erotically charged way, feels really good. And so that's the sort of, you know, selfish, narcissistic impulse to do it. But it's also, particularly if you really care about the person that you're sexting with's, you know, sexual enjoyment and their pleasure and, you know, either, you know, depending on the romantic context or lack thereof, you know, knowing, like, letting them know that they have done the same to you, that there has been an impetus to engage with them, and that if they are being, if they are replying with it, you know, that that is a way of signaling to that person that they have that power from far away too, that you do, like, crave them and desire them, and that they don't have to be present sort of getting you off or helping you get off, like, in person for them to be sort of residually in your mind and be, like, in your thoughts and in your masturbation kit, really. Like, because that's what sort of it tells them. It's that, like, you are, you know, starring in my personal, you know, like, you know, porn collection. Like, both in your own mind, and if they're sending images as well, that, like, you have elevated them to a status that is, like, something a little bit special and something a little bit different. And even if that's not true because you are a sexting maniac and do it constantly and without regard and are cavalier, like, some
people, for example.
You know? Yeah, I was, like, trying to look for the word for, like, you know, hypothetically, that it still feels special. Like, even if you are a cavalier sexter, it can feel, you know, is special and enthralling, and you feel seen and great, and...
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. I'm wondering if... So, how... Do you start sexting with people before you have had sex with them, IRL?
I do. I have. And I have not. There are people whom I've had really, you know, I mean, I am a very new to sexting person in terms of images, actually. So I didn't send my first, like, actually naked selfie until I was 29, and I'm 30. And so I've definitely done the sort of, like, you know, text analog version of, like, you know, and now I'm doing this, and now I'm doing this, for years. And, but it, like, in the past 2 years, of sexting, have done it, you know, as early as, like, the first text conversation with someone I met on an app, to as late as, like, that's not really their thing, we're not gonna do this because, like, it doesn't necessarily turn them on. And really find that, I like doing it early because it, I don't know why. I mean, maybe I just love getting over that part makes it more intimate when you do meet the person or have, it makes it something more exciting.
What do you look for in a good sexting partner?
I think it's this, combination of reciprocity and the sort of attendant caution that I think is required of, like, anyone engaging with, like, material that is, you know, highly sensitive and is weaponized against women in a way that is, you know, really unfortunate, and that I have sort of, like, you know, given a middle finger to, in the sense that I am not as concerned about it, but I also have, you know, the extraordinary privilege of not being in a job or industry where the existence of my naked pictures would compromise my job or my custody or, you know, my relationships. And so when the people who, with whom I sexed are into the photos, like, I like having it reciprocated, and that sort of says, like, oh, like, we're both doing this. Like, it's sort of like, that's reassuring.
You're both making yourself vulnerable.
Exactly. And then there's other people. I mean, that, well, that's like the prime, that's a main component. And like their responsiveness is not just like, that's hot, tell me more. It's like, oh, like, and then I'm going to do this, even if they're not using like images. And then this, the caution that I look for, or maybe I just really like it when I see it happen, is I've had people I was sexting with say like, hey, can you send me that one again, I delete them all.
Interesting.
And I was like, what do you mean you delete them all? Like, those belong, like, those will be worth millions one day. And I got really incredulous, but he was like, oh, I didn't think that you would want me to keep that on my phone. But I did, you know, I erased it. And so, the thing, I don't know if other brands have this, but iPhones have that details button on their face. So you can look to any text conversation. Like, I could look at a text conversation I have with, like, my boyfriend or, like, a friend and press this button called details, and all of the media we've ever exchanged is in it. And so, like...
It's, like, in the cloud.
Yeah.
So even if you delete it off your phone?
No, if you delete it, I think if you would delete it, you have to delete it from the text conversation, maybe, to eliminate it.
Okay.
But that little... option is great because
I can't believe I didn't even know that, that
because existed. It doesn't yeah, it's great because it doesn't require you to like hit save and have it be in your camera roll. It's like you can go to a conversation and be like, I don't want to scroll back 2 months, but you know, like, I think there was this great picture, and then you can like pull it up.
It's kind of like how on Twitter you can click media and you can just see someone's
pictures. Yeah, it's like that. It's it's really helpful. This is terrible, but when I was dating multiple people, I would not remember which, like, sexy pictures I had, like, sent them already. I was like, did I send that to him and also him? Or did I only send that to, like, my girlfriends? Like, has this person seen this, basically? And I would scroll through that section and be like, oh, okay, so... this is our most recent sexting history. Like, I'm not going to recycle this one because it's already there. I forgot how we got to that. But I was going to say another hot tip.
Oh, please.
Is if you are recycling them and people want to know, that people want to, like, know if you're, like, taking these, like, fresh sessions. Is if you have the image that you, you know, like, it's what, February now, but I have a great one from December or something, you know, you can screenshot it and then, like, make sure, like, you know, like, edit out whatever's, like, on the screen alongside it if it's not just the image.
Uh-huh.
And then the timestamp on it is from whenever you screenshot it, as opposed to, like, it's this is taken in December. I mean, you don't have to say, hey, look at this picture I just took.
Right.
But, like, if other people are sort of investigating the specs and being like, hey, I think I've seen this one, you know, like, because I've had people say that when I've been very vigilant about not sending the same ones over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're thinking of this one. And I'll, like, send the thing that they think it was. And I'm like, all right, like, note to self, vary your, you know, front pictures with this person. Like, because they are like, oh, I already seen this one, like, where you're laying down. I'm like, yeah, but, like, it's a little bit different. The lighting is different. And the filter is different. And, like, how could you not recognize the originality here? But, like, I have found that far more. I mean, maybe it's because I, you know, men are the primary recipients, who it's based more around like desire than sort of just sort of like mutual exchange when I'm sending naked pictures.
Right.
Like with like friends, it's like, oh, look, you're hot. I love you. And not like, I am attracted to you.
So I wanted to ask you about that. I love sexting with my friends, and I love like both sending pictures and also like just, you know, doing the same sort of like choose your own adventure erotica with my friends that I don't necessarily have sex with.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, I didn't even really realize that I was doing it or that that was like a thing until I started writing my book. And I was like, oh, I guess not everyone has this kind of relationship with their friends.
Right.
but I think, first of all, sort of doing the sexting equivalent of masturbation in the same way that masturbation makes you better at sex and just is like more empowering. It leads to more empowering and fulfilling sex life. Like, I think that practicing your sexting and like taking pictures when you're not necessarily like scrambling and being like, oh, this person is waiting for the picture, but like doing it when you're feeling yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And then also sending it to your friends and like getting like the approval and attention and validation that sometimes is what we're looking for, frankly, from dating and romance, from your friends who were, for whom like the stakes and of the intimacy are different. I think it's like one of my favorite hobbies.
Yeah.
Sounds like you do that too though.
Yeah. My friend who is also named Alana Levinson wrote a story about this, about like, I don't know if it was her term, I think it's her term that she coined, maybe. I don't know, frexting.
Oh, it was on Medium, right?
Yeah.
I totally read that.
Yeah.
Did she also write that piece that was all in sexts?
Yes.
Yeah. So funny.
Yeah. She's the, she's an excellent texter, sexter, and frexter. and like, you know, is someone who, I mean, I'm quoted in that story. It's not a, you know, secret that I have frexted Alana, which is also just like, I'm like, God, my narcissism goes so deep. I like, my primary frexting partner has my name. Like, oh yeah, Alana, that's great. Yeah, Alana, that's great.
It's very homo.
But
in a friendly way.
Exactly. And, you know, it's one of these things where sometimes you are, like you said, you're just sort of like feeling yourself and like you want to share it with someone, but you don't necessarily have either the time or the inclination or the current lineup in your phone of people to whom you might want to send that. Because I've also run into the issue of like, I'll send like photos and things and talk about thinking about someone, and then they're like, oh really, well, I can come over now. And I'm like, no, I'm like, that's not what I want. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. And it's all often taken as an invitation, and that sort of is taken out of play if it's just your friend. Like, the stakes are lower, but it's also, like, I don't know. I think that there is something really, I mean, like, I get really sentimental about friendship and how it's, like, you can often, like, be feeling, like, sexy, but not necessarily feeling, like, your best or your most desirable, because you aren't necessarily with someone, and that is the times at which I want to be sending like frexts. I'm like, I want someone to be acknowledging this, but I don't like currently have anyone. And that was like a time that frexting really sort of came through for me.
Yeah.
It's like being like, you guys know that I'm sexy and pretty and, you know, would look great to have sex with if you were with me naked, and they're like, yeah, fuck, of course. Like, and so
that's what friends are for.
Yeah,
that's what frexts are for.
Yeah. And it's also interesting to me to see how other people do it. Because I have like learned like, oh, I have never considered that pose or that angle,
right?
Or like, I would never wear that, or, ooh, I should wear that.
Well, you also get to experience what it's like to be the object of that gaze, right? So,
right.
Like, if your friend sends you, a naked selfie where they are staring at the camera, and you get that, and you're not necessarily, like, sexually attracted to your friend, but you get that jolt of energy still, I think, of the eye contact and, like, what it feels like to receive a message like that. So then you have more more context and more understanding of what you're creating or what you're inventing when you take the sex and send it to someone.
Absolutely.
Or what you're looking for, because if somebody is not giving you what you're hoping to get, then that's not somebody who deserves your sex.
Right.
Or your IRL sex.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think of selfies in general, of course, it is so... I think it's interesting that, like, selfies of faces are so feminine-coded.
So
and
true.
Images that are sexual are people think dick pics. People That's think exclusively of, like, you know, hetero cis men. And also, to some extent, they think of, like, perverted gay men who are always sending pictures of their dick. And, like, this sort
That's
of,
That's all,
like,
they care about.
Yeah, like, and it's that I have found... at least in my experience, maybe it's the people to whom I'm attracted, and, like, this isn't indicative, but, like, far more caution in my experience comes from men I've dated than from women who I know are willing to send these images. Because, maybe because, like, you know, like, I know lots of guys who are very reticent about, like, sending a dick pic, because they're like, why would you want that? Like, because there is this sort of, like, very strong narrative of, like, who wants to see that? Ew!
Yeah.
And it's like, I do!
Yeah,
like,
so
when
sad.
I ask for it, like, I definitely want it. Like, I wouldn't ask for it, like, so we could, you know, like, so I could humiliate you. Like, I asked for it because I want to either know what it looks like because I haven't seen it, or because, like, it is something, like, intimate that we could, like, share with each other.
Or because dicks turn you on.
Or, exactly! Like, people don't, like, the idea of, like, a, you know, and it, like, also turns me on, like, if they're thinking about me and getting turned on. It's like,
yeah, and also, like, you know that you are asking them to do, to perform an exhibitionist action.
Right.
Movement. To create something that taps into their exhibitionism. It's exciting to ask... it's exciting to, like, see, for example, a hard dick. Be like, that dick is hard because I asked to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And like you were saying, like, you know that you're physically affecting that person from... whether you're, like, in another borough or on another continent, like, you're physically affecting that person in a positive way.
Yeah. And that they're willing to do it is another turn on. Like, I would never pressure someone to send me pictures that they are just not willing to take. But the idea that, like, someone would be like, well, I was doing something else, but, like, for you, I will, like, make this little pornographic image or, like, this video or something that feels specific and it feels personal.
Yeah.
That, you know, makes you feel good. And especially if it's someone who, you know, is not as cavalier, because you know that... I think that, you know, brings it a level of intimacy if it's someone who is not a big-time sexter, but would be willing to explore. Like, some people will, I've had guys just sort of, like, send a picture of the fact that they're, like, hard in their pants, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
sweatpants, yeah.
Love a sweatpants boner, you know? There's, you know, like, that's great. That's, if that's the place that you're willing to go... then, like, see how that feels. Try it on for size.
Yeah.
And, like, if you enjoy it, like, maybe go to the next level, especially as someone who didn't send a naked sex for many years. I get it. Like, I was terrified of, like, having them go other places. I wasn't very, you know, I wasn't a fan of my own body. I was, you know, scared of them being sort of weaponized. And, I totally understand that fear and think that it's a valid one.
So what changed for you?
Well, I basically, at the end of a really sort of horrible relationship, was like, thank God he has no naked pictures of me. He has, like, sort of bikini pictures, and they, like, have, like, the bottom half of my mouth, and then sort of, like, nothing else.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's horrifying that, like, that was that I was scared of that, because it was like, how is this person going to try to ruin my life in ways that they're not currently, because he was trying to ruin my life in a number of other ways, by, like, you know, saying, like, you know, horrible things about me. And it was just the total profile of one of these guys you hear about who goes to, like, a revenge porn site.
Right.
But then I was thinking about it, and one of the things that is, that I wrote about in this naked selfie piece was, I used to be a stripper, and, like, the clubs we worked at would have, like, oh, like, you get to pay lower house fees tonight if you take promo pictures. And so it would be, like, they were having a party with, like, a liquor company, like, sponsoring it, and, like, holding it in, like, your outfit. And then I was like, there's also tons of security footage of me, like, definitely without my clothes on. There's also definitely men who have been caught in strip clubs that I've worked at taking pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And those are just the ones that got caught. And, like, who knows who has these pictures of me? And so the decision to start sending them myself was about like, oh, like, if someone's going to have a naked image of me, then it should be evident to me that I was the person who took it, who commissioned it, who was in charge of its creation, and who was in charge of its original distribution. And if you release something like that, it's like, dude, that girl took that of herself. Like you had a hot girl taking pictures of herself naked, and, like, your response is like, I'm gonna put this on the internet because she's a bitch. It's like, well, you just look pathetic. Like, those places are just pathetic. And again, like, totally. I don't have a lot at stake, because I'm like, these images already exist of me.
Right.
If someone has the desire to ruin my life with them, I'm like, well, if you think that's bad, you'd love to see my collection. Like, I would imagine just going scorched earth on myself. Because I also have this, I had this thing where, like, they're on the top of cabs, there's, like, you know, like, strip clubs, like, advertised, and there's, like, very, to me, iconic women on them whose, like, faces I recognize. And I sometimes think, like, Alana, if you ever get famous and your old job, like, puts two and two together about who you are, they're going to dig up those pictures and make you the face of the club on the top of the cabs, which is partly just my delusions of grandeur that, like, anyone would, that one, I would be famous enough that, like, it would be profitable for them to make me the face of the club on these ads, but also that, like, like, I mean, I've just done so many worst case scenarios and so much, like, fear around the images that I'm like, I'm done. Like, if, you know, like, if that's what, if, like, the most terrifying and controversial thing that someone can conjure up about me is that I'm naked under my clothes, is, like, then they've lost. Like, you know, like, there is, like, nothing more, like, shocking and simultaneously obvious about, like, the worst thing a woman could be is naked. But the only thing women are is naked to so many people, like, in, like, how they approach what, like, it is to,
what we're worth.
Yeah, and, like, live in, like, certain, like, what it means to, like, live in certain bodies and to, like, occupy space in a certain way, and that, like, if, like, it says so much more about them than it does about me that that anyone would ever seek to use such things for harm rather than for pleasure and for good. But I don't know.
So I just agree.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Snap, snap, snap to everything that you're saying. This is part... You are my proxy. This is great. I too... have There are also naked pictures of me on the internet. Yes. And so my approach also to the culture of fear around revenge porn, the Fappening, where, you know, celebrity nudes have been hacked and leaked, you know, even the sort of like 90s era scandals where like the worst thing that could happen to an actress was like the nude modeling that she did when she was desperate and up and coming, that the tabloids have, you know, these pictures of them. So I see all of that fear mongering from a little bit of a remove, because been there, done that. Although at the same time, because I sold the rights to naked images of me, I take that much more umbrage at seeing them used in ways that I didn't agree to. Mm-hmm. Although, like, it's inevitable. You know, right. All you have to do is take a screenshot or print them out or whatever. But I'm wondering... So I guess I'm interested in seeing the ways that more and more people are naked, are taking naked pictures of themselves and sending them, and then they are ending up being replicated and stored somewhere. And I'm wondering, do you think that the fear and hypocrisy about naked pictures of people will lessen as we get closer and closer to the point where everyone is naked on the internet? Or like what I like to call the horse singularity?
I really do think that sort of flooding the internet with this material and just sort of flooding the world with it is a net positive for not just like, oh, look, we're like, you know, all sexual and it's fine, but in this way that is very important to neutralizing the harm that these kind of images used to do to people.
Right.
That they continue to do to people because,
people can lose their jobs,
lose
their kids.
Yeah.
Like, the worst things that could be, like you were saying, having taken a naked picture of yourself, but especially having the nerve to be paid for it, can be weaponized against you.
Absolutely.
At any point.
And that it, like, and that the people who are, that sort of, I think that one of my desires is, my desire is so much less in terms of, like, the sort of, like, the politics of, like, these images and, like, these things, these sort of, like, texts even, is less about, like, my personal, like, sexual, like, audacity and my cavalierness, like, being, requiring sort of, like, any sort of validation. It's just, like, this idea that, I mean, it's very easy for me to be, like, cool, you put it on the internet, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I have that reaction to those people, but there are people who have the reaction to me, which is like, you are the gross one for having done this. And like, that's how these employers react. That's how these courts react. And I'm like, someone is using, like, is taking what is copyrighted material under the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. If you take a picture of yourself, you own the rights to it.
Oh, fascinating.
Then they're taking copyrighted material, distributing it without consent, and it's, like, if someone, like, the jig is up if you have a kid, and, you know, like, if you have given birth to a child, the jig is up, like, you had sex.
Mm.
Everyone knows you had sex.
Right.
Like, they're not thinking about it that way, but, like, we are all people, you know, not all, but, like, we are largely adults who have had sex, who have, you know, nakedness under their clothing, and that, like, any employer or judge or, you know, community and social norms that would say, like, you know what's gross? The person who took the picture,
as and opposed not the to one the person, who just, the like, thief. Yeah.
That sort of, you know, took it and then distributed it for harm, especially when it was originally sent for that person's pleasure, was possibly originally sort of commissioned by that person or that partner. Like, I've known of people who were like, I didn't want to take these selfies, but then, like, my boyfriend wanted me to. Mm. And I feel like that kind of, that is, like, a person who I would be more scared of, like, distributing them, like, after a breakup than I would be, if they hadn't been coerced. And that for people to weaponize those things that used to be, you know, instruments of arousal and, like, intimacy and are used as, like, you know, this really sort of, like, violent, ugly thing, those are the people who are the fucking, you know, like, morally vacant fools of our society, not the girl who took a naked picture of herself. And it's not exclusively gendered that way, but that, you know, that is so much of the narrative of, like, oh, what an idiot. Doesn't she know the internet exists? It's like, yeah, the internet exists, and, like, all of us are all over it. And I think that as more, I think that it will reach a critical mass so large that it will be, like, we'll have no choice but to be like, who cares?
I hope so.
Yeah, I, like, because I just can't see it lasting. I mean, maybe that's me being just hopeful and foolish, but I just, I'm so repulsed by the idea that anyone would, you know, take a sort of, like, a look at someone who took that picture as, like, unethical. It's like, you think they're, like, I mean, it's set, like, the hypocrisy and the, like, sort of, like, prudishness, but also just idiocy of that is so, like, really? Are you that obtuse? Like, are you that boring? Well, like, I mean, are you that, like, unaware of the world you live in, even if you're not, like, you know, a sexually active person or a, you know, person who was drawn to these images? It's like, do you not know about the world that you're in?
Do you think that it has something to do with something else that you said earlier about the way that we feminize the idea of the selfie? Because, of course, when it comes to vanity, women are put in a double bind, right? Like, women are expected to be appealing and to present themselves in a certain way, but then are also judged for being vain. I mean, like, look at how we talk about Kim Kardashian, right? We're, like, fascinated by her, and we, like, want her to be this, like, beautiful sex object, and then when she actually, like, takes the camera and takes all of these selfies and then releases a book that is a collection of selfies, everybody's just like, oh, she's the scourge of the earth and she's such a narcissist and how dare she, but, you know, clearly we have, like, a complicated relationship to that. So do you feel like that has something to do with the hypocrisy of the way that we judge women for actually having the agency to take a picture of themselves and say, I'm sexy and I know it and I'm going to share that with someone? And then they, like, women need to be punished for their subjectivity in that way?
Absolutely. Rachel Syme wrote that 10,000 word essay also on Medium's Matter publication called Selfie, and it was a 10,000 word sort of, like, it was, like, everything I've ever, like, wanted to think about and, like, talk about regarding selfies but, like, didn't have the words for, about that very phenomenon of, you know, the sort of, like, how dare you, like, be, I'm not quoting directly, but, like, how dare you, like, gaze at yourself in the way like we're supposed to,
right?
Even though it is, like, this, like, you know, that, but, like, but gaze at yourself in order that it can be like in the sort of interest of putting it out in the world, you know, like the guy who runs one of the biggest revenge porn sites tried to make the argument that all nude selfies are taken as gifts and so they belong to the recipient. And that was his, what is his name? But he said, like, oh, well, because all these pictures are taken for someone else. And I know we're talking about sexting, but like, it's like, no, like, I have a huge, you know, sort of like dormant graveyard of selfies, both naked and not naked, that I have never given to anyone, I've never put on the internet, that just sort of exist for me. Which is, you know, that go sort of unspoken about, because this idea is like, I only do it for the purpose of sharing it and like getting compliments for it, like being validated, as opposed to this thing that Rachel talks about, which is like making a document of yourself, like, yeah, that is like, it is sort of like the, you know, proving you exist in the world, that can be as meaningful as like writing a diary entry. It's like, this, yeah, is what I looked like on this part of my life, like, this is a you know, self-documenting experience, and if that's sexual, when you're feeling yourself and not necessarily, yeah, like sending it out to someone, you know, that's a valid experience, and that can be a powerful experience, and that, I think women are punished for it in this very sort of gendered way, but men too, like, I think that more male selfies would be a net good, because, yeah, that story, I don't know if I'm gonna, it was a, what was the story about where I read this? Oh, Faraya Razan, I've only seen her name written, I've never heard it said, so I might be, like, saying it wrong, but she wrote a story about, Zayn Malik from One Direction, and it was about masculinity and how men are taught to have big egos, but not to ever especially like themselves.
Right.
And that the difference between like having an ego and like sort of being okay with who you are and liking the way you look and like being happy with it or wanting to document it are very different things, and that like more guys should just be like able to, you know, express the fact that they think about how they look and that they document how they look and that they are sometimes feeling great about how they look but sometimes not feeling great about it. I feel like men are not socialized as often to be like, how is your body feeling in the world? How is it occupying space? What is it doing? Does it look good? Does it feel good? And that men are thinking about these things, but not necessarily talking about them, and they're not having them talked about. So, like, guys who take selfies really are ridiculed in a lot of, like, ways.
Well, in a way, it's like...
is in it, but, like, dick pics are sort of unidentifiable, like, unless you know, like, there's a tattoo or a really big mole. Like, they're not, you know, easy to match up.
Are there the really excellent dick pics where they can actually position the dick in the foreground and the face in the background? That's skills.
I mean, an artful dick pic is like a treasure to behold. But they're so good when they're good.
Yeah, really good.
So...
but so bad. I have... for... professionally looked at a lot of dick pics,
right.
And bad lighting on a dick pic in particular, even more than any other part of the human anatomy, like, bad lighting on a dick pic just really looks like sickly.
It's a very delicate body part to take a photo of.
Yeah,
and
so lighting is everything.
Poorly, and like, yeah, I've seen some. It's also like. It can turn out so bad, but it can also turn out so deceptively good. Like, and like, to me, that to me is less like, oh, how, you know, how did you pull that one off? It's more like, well, that's great. You know exactly, like the thing I was saying about, like, men aren't really, you know, like, tough to, like, you know, think about themselves in these ways. It's like, oh, like, this person thought about the angle and the lighting and like the positioning to maximize the, like, what they consider the attractiveness of this photo, in the same way that I do that with, like, the angle of my face, the filter I choose, like, the makeup and lighting that I choose, and that, like, you know, I don't know if, like, more gender equality looks like guys are torturing themselves thinking about this, too, or if it is sort of a leveling of, like, maybe we can both sort of, like, occupy the spaces that we do and think about it in ways that are sort of morally neutral, but, like, have, you know, a dimension of thoughtfulness to them that is not about, like, how bad or good, you know, I look in, like, the world and, like, to social beauty standards, but, like, you know, how does physically occupying space and sexually occupying space and occupying, you know, space in a body in these ways, how does it feel? How does it make me want to, you know, have an experience like sending a sext, just taking a picture for yourself, just taking a picture, but only showing it to someone on your phone and not dispatching it, like keeping ownership of it.
They're like little feedback loops. Selfies.
Yeah, and like, but like the best kind of, usual, I mean, like the ones you keep, I guess. Sometimes I take a selfie and I'm like, what the hell, who was that?
Yeah.
Which can be jarring, but can also be very instructive back about that sort of relationship that people have to occupying space, where I'm like, I didn't realize I looked this, like, I you know, will look like thinner in a picture than I feel, and I'm like, okay, like the picture is evidence that I don't, that you know, signals to me like the thing that's happening, this document exists outside of your body, but you can only exist in your body. And that's been really instructive, where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I thought I looked this way because I am living inside of it, but like taking it, making the sort of copy of yourself, gives you a new set of eyes with which to look at it. Which is unrelated to sexting, but it is related to body image, which is related back to sexting.
It's, I think it's related to sexting also because we tend to get inside our heads when we are having sex. And one of the things that is nice about sending sexual pictures of yourself is that you can see things that you don't see. Like a camera is like a third... It like makes it like a threesome, you know, and you can like be inside of the like threesome's POV,
yeah,
and like see things about your body or see things about sex that you can't see because of the limitations of your body.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be like really powerful, but then it's also like you can very quickly manipulate it as well. Like it's a very compromised third party because like you do have some amount of control over it. And so I always am sort of wondering, like, have I like mastered the camera? Like, will it know? Like, you know, like, will I have like reached, you know, like oneness? Will I get into the like, you know, like making it so that I could take 100% like great selfies? And it's like, no, not even with that timer, like, you, there's no way. But yeah, that's definitely the like you said, showing you parts of yourself that you couldn't see.
I mean, part of the fascination, I guess, with sexting is that it facilitates, I mean, there's still, I think, and I mean, it's a relatively new technology.
Oh yeah.
So in a way, part of the thrill is the thrill of the novelty, right? I mean, the idea that you can be, that you can make a, that you have a porn-making machine in your pocket.
Yeah.
At every moment. And again, like, this is something that I come to from a little bit of a remove, because I think not everyone... I like pick up something and I'm like, how can I make porn out of this? You know? and so I've been doing that, you know, since as long as I can remember. But I think that for a lot of people, like the technology of smartphones and even the like video technology or Skyping or FaceTiming is like the first time that they imagine themselves, like the idea that they could do a cam show for someone is maybe the first time that they actually realize that they could like put on a sexy, like put on a masturbation show, dance for someone naked, even like be naked for someone like in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And for a lot of, I think that that's great that more people, this is going back to the horror singularity idea, the fact that there are more people who are actually experiencing what it's like to be naked or sexual in front of a camera, for the camera, for themselves, but also for the person who's going to see what is being documented.
Right.
I think that that is a good thing. I would hope that people, like, sort of make the intellectual leap to realize that they have more in common with whores than they think that they did.
Mm. This is one of those ones where I'm like, where my list goes, like, really far. My politics, where I think it's one of those things where, like, I think it would be good for there to be less of a sort of, like, ethical and moral dimension to the documentation of the images. I think that the biggest problem with that actually happening is that people believe that intent has so much more meaning than it does. Like, well, if this was, like, meant to, make a boyfriend happy, well, that's much more ethical than, like, making a money? Man horny for money.
Yeah.
Like, that you don't know. But I also fear the, over-appropriation of the sexual dimension of, like, porn and cam work and other forms of, like, erotic labor with, like, oh yeah, like, we're all just being free and sexy, like, which takes away, like, that's, like, the I mean, like, this probably maybe, like, isn't relevant to the, like, the sexting stuff, but I get, like, wait a minute, like, you don't get to use whore because you never did this. And, like,
well, I completely agree with that. And I also think that you're right that the danger sometimes is that people are, when people think that they can get it for free, then they're like, why should I have to
ever pay? Yeah.
Why should you expect someone to pay? I talk about this a lot because it just was really stuck out in my mind, but I had this really crazy experience of dating in New York City where I hooked up with this guy that I met on OkCupid once, and then we would have these long sexting exchanges that I would think, and you mentioned this earlier about, like, things leading to sex, but, like, I would always be confused because I would be like, so this is foreplay for, like, me coming over, like, I could be there on my bike in 15 minutes, right? And it kept not leading to that, and then this one time he wanted to Skype, and I like thought that, and we had only had sex once, and so he wanted us to, like, masturbate for each other on Skype, and I was like, okay, I'll do this, but then I realized halfway through that I felt like I was working,
mm-hmm.
and because I wasn't really, I wanted to have sex, I didn't want to masturbate for a screen, and anyway, so I brought it up to him. I was like, if this is what you want, why don't you hire someone? And he was like, ugh, gross. I'm not going to do that. And I was like, okay, you don't get to Skype with me anymore.
Yeah.
but it was such, like, a revelation to me because, you know, this is just one individual. But I think that a lot of the times that women are expected to be ready to perform that sexual labor for free and that emotional labor for free.
And just sort of, like, be sort of stuck back into someone else's fantasy, which gets back to this, like, sexting, you know, like, my face is going to be in it because this is about me too.
Right.
And, like, sexting stops if you just keep throwing me curveballs that are not clearly intuiting. Like, no. Like, I keep referring back to this one guy who kept, like, we had never had anal sex. I never did have anal sex with him, but kept bringing up anal sex and sexting. And then I would steer it back to, like, why would we, like, the leap in, like, this is what I'm doing to my body. Like, it's clearly, like, preparation for, like, vaginal intercourse, because, like, you've had vaginal intercourse with me, like, you know that this is what I do beforehand, like, we're kind of recreating it analog style. Like, and then it would be like, no, but actually this, and, like, would try to sort of, like you said, like, just sort of, like, goad out of me, like, the thing that he wanted, rather than like having an experience with me, which again also happens when, you know, IRL partners are just, you know, clearly getting off using your body, like, as the sort of, like,
as, like, a anyone human will fleshlight. Do. Yeah.
And that is, you know, that lacking reciprocity and lacking intuition and lacking empathy makes for bad sexting. It makes for bad sex. It makes for bad people that are just, like, you know, if they have your images, like, you can bid them farewell and, like, you know, be grateful to have found out, but, like, no one, like, there are too many people in the world who are gonna, like, love sexting with you and love, like, you know, instead of sexting at you, that, you know, need to, that deserve you more than anyone who is bad at sexting and bad at sex and bad at, like, acknowledging you as the agent rather than the sort of acted upon. And then that's what sexting images for me really that's why it matters to me, and that's why I do it, in addition to all of those sort of sexy salacious reasons.
I have one more question for you. Do you think in our lifetime we will see artificial intelligence sexting services?
Yes, absolutely. I think, I mean, I don't know how far AI is in terms of...
No one does.
Like, but, like, I feel like it's gonna be one of those things where it's, like, it's gonna be... Have you seen Ex Machina?
Oh, yes.
Like, I really think it's gonna be, like, they're gonna make... Like, it's already in the works. It's already more perfect than we can imagine, but they're making it even more perfect, and they're gonna unleash it on the world. And it's gonna be, you know, a mind fuck as well as a real fuck. But that the... I mean, like... It's been a joke since the internet was born. Like, oh, this thing was made to create pornography. Like, so much of our technology
The printing press.
It's, like, all photographs. For the purpose of getting people off, which is an important tool. And that so much, I believe, good could come from artificial intelligence being made capable of, you know, arousal and responsiveness and, like, all of these things. But again, it also, like, there's a dystopian horrible version of that too. I like to think of them as, like, as, like, potential sort of surrogates and problem solvers and not, like, replacements.
That's brilliant. I guess the way I feel about it is that these people that we've been talking about, the specific people and the hypothetical people who want to sext at you, not with you, like, I want them to be sexting with robots. Like, I want them to be having sex with robots, like, please, because, like, the robot doesn't care unless the robot does. That's the dystopian question, right? And then I guess there's, like, another class of people who could learn how to better connect with real people through the training of working with artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's sort of how I would hope it would. I mean, again, like, I think there's so many, like, great things that are sort of happening in this sort of conversation about, like, well, like, are men gonna never talk to women again? Like, if they have these sex robots, these sort of, like, panicked visions of what it could be. But I think that, like, there are going to be, you know, very, you know, there are going to be people who are like, what's the worst thing we can do with this? And then there's also going to be people who are like, oh, we could also be, like, helpful and useful and, like, make human relationships better instead of worse by, you know, giving humans a way of interacting that is not as harmful. But again, I worry about the robots, too, the way I worry about everybody.
I mean, according to Ex Machina, they're going to be just fine.
Spoiler alert!
Okay, spoiler alert.
Anyway.
Do you think that's a feminist movie?
Oh my god. Yeah. I feel like, that's like, like, is it feminist is, like, the sort of, like it's like a trap. Like,
it is, it is. Where I, like, just like a robot, I have set a trap for you.
Where I'm like, is it feminist if it's not a human woman? Is it a human woman? Like, is it, like, what, where, how far does feminism go? What's the, you know, like, all of these things get, like, I think that it, like, I feel like whenever something asks, like, is it feminist as an adjective, like, it's, like, is it, like, an ingredient to a feminist conversation? Yes. Is it a...
Oscar Isaac's arms in that movie are definitely an ingredient for a feminist conversation. That's a good, I'm gonna steal it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
We have record of it being mine.
That's true.
I'm invoking the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Whatever goes. Man.
I love that it's millennium, like, for, it's like poor millennials.
Yeah, like, so much charming stuff that happened in 2000 is so dated now. But,
so true. So true.
Yeah, the DMCA. It's really helpful and really not helpful in a lot of ways, too. But anyway, we don't necessarily want to talk about copyrights.
I mean, why not?
But ownership and, like, you know, there is, like, some legal acknowledgement of, like, how these things are changing is good if it's, even if it's slow, even if it's not the right response. Like, it takes forever for laws to be created and for laws to, like, you know, like, working with these, like, you know, with this kind of material and, like, images and digital and computers and the internet. Like, it's remarkable that, like, the law, like, it's remarkable how archaic the law is about all of these things, like, in terms of the laws that exist and the way the legal system treats these things as if they're, like, new.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys, we've had this internet thing for, like, a couple decades now. Like, it's wild.
But we're all, I mean, that brings it back to sexting, because, I mean, the way that we sext is also, like, us, like, wading around in the waters of the internet and, like, figuring out how it can be used, and then people are trying to judge it and regulate it and figure it out based on, but that nobody's going to know until
when we have, like,
run the program.
Yeah. And when we, like, have, like, a further away view of it, like, I think of, like, a lot of people, like, sexting for the first time, the way I think about, like, really early YouTube and people being like, oh my gosh, I can be a, you know, internet sensation by being on YouTube. And, like, it's like, you know, the earliest viral videos were, like, way less quality and, like, just sort of silly.
Yeah.
Because people were just sort of, like, figuring out what they're doing. And I'm like, I like to think of, like, people who are just coming to sexting as, like, they're just getting their feet in the water. We're just learning how we can use this thing. Like, we are at, like, ultra rudimentary versions of this, and we're gonna figure it out, and we're gonna, like, have, like, emerging stars. I would like to be sexting an emerging stars. Star. Yeah. I very jokingly told friends, I was like, if I put on a seminar of, like, how to take a good selfie and, like, had friends to my house and, like, taught you which apps to use and which angles to use for certain body parts, like, depending on this, would you take it? My friends were like, LOL, yes, because it was, like, on Twitter, but then they were like, no, no, seriously, really, like, yes. Will you put a seminar on? So maybe that's how I'll make my next...
Well, we should talk. We should talk, because... that's what I've been doing that. So,
oh, but that's exciting. But, so you have a market cornered.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always,
cause people want to know.
There's plenty of room at the top. There's plenty of room at the top for all of us.
Excellent.
That's yeah. And like you were saying, you see other people's work and you're like, I never realized that, you know, we'll talk.
All right.
On that note, I want to let you get back to your deadline, right. And but thank you so much for
it was my pleasure.
Sweet. Say your URL again.
Oh, alanakm.com. That's alanakm.com.
And your Twitter handle?
Alana Massey. alanamassey.
And your book is called All the Lives I Want?
Yes, it is.
And it's coming out in 2017.
Yes, it is.
And in the meantime, is there anything that you want to plug that you're working on?
People can really find everything I do, for better or worse, on Twitter.
Cool.
In terms of writing, thinking, talking, taking pictures of myself. PG for the most part. Uh-huh. But, like, I throw an occasional thing in there.
Great.
That, that's on, you know, all over the, it's on the internet, so people will find it.
So you just hit that details button.
Exactly.
Cool.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for listening to episode 37. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher, etc. And take a few seconds to write a review. Think of it as sexting me in public. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to our entire archive. We are a proud part of the Whorecast Network. Visit thewhorecast.com to find out more. As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme song is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now sponsored by my generous and photogenic patrons. Join our exclusive chat room at patreon.com/TinaHorn. This episode, like all of my work about sex, is for Prince. Pour one out for him, if you know what I mean.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.